for joining us for this week's podcast from Awakening Church.
Well, I just want to say to you, I know that they've already left, but Chris and Danica are a huge blessing to our family. And I'm so grateful for all that they've poured into my children, into me, and their faithfulness to the assignment that they've been given, their loyalty to God and to this kingdom family. They are an example for other people to look at and see that's how you do kingdom family. So thank you guys. Okay, well, interestingly enough, today I'm going to be talking about kingdom, and I'm going to be talking about family.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be talking about kingdom family. So we pray a lot here. So let's do that again. Okay. All right. Father, I thank you so much for your word and for the promise that you've given us of having a kingdom family and that you knit us together. And that's what I ask for you to do this morning, that through my words, while I'm sure they'll be feeble, I ask that you would fill my mouth so that through that, people will have a better understanding of what we do here as kingdom family, and that they would latch on to the vision of being knit together as brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters, God. Father, I just ask that you would help me deliver exactly what you want me to deliver today, and that our hearts and our minds are open to everything that you want us to retain. And I just ask you, God, to go to every single spirit in here, every person that has a spirit, that you would make them be alert and open to what you have for them today. And let your anointing just rest in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, while Dad and Ryan, you can go, even though I love it and I wish you could stay there the whole time. I will let your fingers rest for a little while. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I am not usually someone that gets like a word for the year. You know, a lot of people, like Kathleen, gets these amazing words from God, like November, December, and she's like, oh, he said this and this, and I'm like, oh yes, and I just take it, you know. Or Ryan will get something, or Travis, or other people will give out this huge, you know, prophetic word or whatever of what's coming in 2017, and I love that, but I don't usually get that. That's not me. I just take what everybody else is saying, and I agree with it, which is good too. But this year, at the end of 2016. I actually asked for one. I was like, Lord, I would really like to have a word that is going to be the theme of 2017 for Rebecca Bain and for the Bain household. And so one day when I was praying, he just said family. And I was like, well, of course, because I'm a mom. So family makes sense. And he said, that is the theme of 2017. And I want you to focus on your family. I want you to pull in any loose ends, and not just your blood family, but I also want to see the kingdom family be expanded in 2017 at Awakening Church. And so I absolutely signed up for that. I said, yes, I love it. As a matter of fact, we recently repainted our kitchen and living room, and I went to Hobby Lobby, and there was this big sign that said family. I was like, yes, this is awesome. So I have a plaque over my back door, which is in my kitchen, and it's this big plaque that says family. And it is a daily reminder of the word for 2017 for me. And it's not just for 2017. I believe this is an initiation into something, or an invitation into learning more about family and kingdom family. So, I was raised in church. I was born in church, basically. My parents are amazing. They got saved before I could talk. I guess I was around one or two. I don't remember exactly how old I was when they got saved, but anyway. So, my family tree, it comes from Bible-believing people. That's all I've ever known. That's all I've ever known. And I was raised in an atmosphere of church, right? Well, and I am so grateful for everything that I learned while I was growing up in church. I'm thankful for all the Sunday school teachers that I had and youth pastors that I had and pastors and leaders and all of the people that poured into me. I would not be who I am today if I did not have them and I didn't have their fingerprints on my clay. So I'm extremely grateful for all that those people poured into me, what Jesus poured into me through them. But around 2004-ish, I think, the Lord began to take Ryan and I on a journey of learning learning something new about God and about his kingdom. So when I say these things, when I start to do a contrast, I'm doing this with complete honor. I hope that you hear my heart, that I wouldn't want to dishonor anyone. But I'm thankful that the revelation of God is progressive. Amen? So I say that this revelation has been progressive. And so in 2004, the Lord really began to deal with our hearts about what is kingdom family. And actually, it wasn't even that word, but it was basically what God had to remove us from a certain system so that we could not look at that anymore as our guide and begin to really lead into what Scripture says about kingdom family and about the kingdom of God. Ultimately, it's not just about family, but just about the kingdom of God. And so for the sake of what I'm saying today, I'm going to say that there's two things that I've learned, okay? Well, there's two kingdoms? No, that's not the right way. Well, anyway, there's nominal church and there's kingdom, okay? So I grew up in something called nominal church, and that is I have to go to church every single time the doors are open so that I can check that off my list. There's going to be programs for infants and nursery and toddler and kids and youth and senior adults. And there's going to be women's mysteries, and there's going to be focus groups, and there's going to be all these things that people need to be a part of so that they can have a country club kind of atmosphere where they get together, and it's not necessarily, they don't necessarily get together about Jesus or about kingdom aspects or about the word of God, but because they have something in common, they get together. That's one example. Or, let's see, another example of nominal church is most of the time, there's not a whole lot of responsibility placed on the people, the assembly, those that are gathered. Normally it's all about whoever is at the pulpit and what they deliver. And we're just like, yes, this is great. And we, the people that are sitting in the chairs, just take in all this stuff. And we have no recourse or no responsibility with what we've been given, because that's what the ministers do. We don't have to do anything. We're just going to listen, and we're going to show up to church and check it off our list. And we're a good person because we went to church Sunday after Sunday, even Wednesday nights. We're really good people for that. And so the Lord began to show us, like I said, in 2004, and it culminated, I would say, like it really like catapulted us in 2008 or 9, where he really began to show us what he wanted us to take us into. Not necessarily focused on what we were coming out of, but what he was taking us into. And it was a foreign concept because honestly, like I said, I've been in church since I was knee high to a grasshopper, as the saying goes. So I knew when I was 14 years old that I was going to marry Ryan. The Lord spoke to me. He was going to be my husband. And we met in church. We were in youth group together. We grew up and got married at too young, probably. No, it was great. I love it. Because this year will be 20 years. So we got married as teenagers and went on staff at the same church that we met in the youth group. So like it's all this church, right? Our marriage was you know, developed there and everything. And so that's all I ever knew. And I was actually taught as a minister's wife or a pastor's wife that you do not need to, you don't need to have a really close relationship with lay people. Because if they know too much about you, they might stab you in the back. And you need to make sure that you have a clean and pristine persona that you present, because you are a pastor's wife. And so you need to dress a certain way. You need to talk a certain way. And you need to create this bubble around you that nobody can come into, but that you can give out of. Yuck! That's never, ever, really, ever, ever been me. And growing up in that atmosphere, or being taught in that atmosphere, it was so confusing to me because that's not ever anything that's bore witness with me. Does that make sense? And I always felt like the ugly duckling, like I never fit because all these other people they were doing, and they played piano, which I don't do, or they led ladies ministry, which I really never did. And that's just not my deal. I love ladies and I love to minister to ladies, but it's not my deal. And so I always felt like the ugly duckling. And so what I'm going to share with you, as Ryan actually already said, is something that we're still learning. This is something that we're still learning 7, 8 years, 10, however long years later, about the kingdom of God and what it means to be a part of a kingdom family. And I really hope that I don't ramble too much today. I'm going to just be led by the Holy Spirit. So because I am kind of like Dory, that's okay. Do you see what I'm saying? I have no problem that I might be like ding, 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 ding. Because that's just who I am. And I'm totally secure in that. So, okay, so I wanted to just set that up and the reason why I wanted to set that up is I would say that probably 95% of you in the room know exactly what I'm talking about. Can you raise your hand if you can identify with what I said? See, yes. Most of the people in this room understand. Ryan took too long. Understand exactly what I'm talking about. And I would also say, and I hope that you don't think that this is arrogant, but I would also say that most of you in the room, that's probably part of the reason why you're at Awakening Church, is because we don't necessarily mirror that, right? Because that's not what we feel like the Bible tells us about being the ecclesia or the church or the kingdom family or the governmental family of God, as I like to say it. Okay, so, okay, we're going to go to Acts. Let me see which one I want to start with. I guess we'll just start with Acts 1. Even my notes, you're going to see me going back and forth on my notes and in the Bible. But that is awesome. It's fun. It's adventure. It's wonder, right? Okay, so we're going to be in Acts 1, verse 13 and 14. Okay, so let me give a little bit of a backstory. Jesus just died on the cross and was resurrected to new life. Woohoo! Right? That was amazing. And he was, right after the ascension. So he goes on his way to heaven, and then there's all these guys down there like, okay, no, he's the one thing that, you know, we gave our whole self for. We gave our careers and everything for, and now he just went to heaven, right? Okay, so that literally just happened. And then we're going to go into verse 13. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. Here we go, verse 14. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Okay, so they're like, we don't know what else to do but to be constantly united in prayer. So that's exactly what they did. They gathered together, and those names that I just mentioned, those were the apostles. These were the sent ones, because that's what apostle means. I don't know if you know, but the word apostle is not necessarily a churchy term or a biblical term. It's actually a governmental term that, which I'm sure you've probably heard us talk about this before, but basically that term, that these were the sent ones of the government of heaven right now. And Jesus just left. So they're like, well, we have nothing else to do but to go upstairs and pray. So that's what they did. Okay. So then we're going to go to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Okay. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like the flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Now, I want you to recognize the scripture that I just read in one, and the time frame between that verse to two is about 50 days, okay? Ish, give or take, because Jesus, anyway, I think you get where I'm going. It was about 50 days. So these people decided, we're staying in this room constantly united in prayer until something happens. They decided we're going to do this in unity. And they did that for 50 days. Okay. These are powerhouse people that decided we are touching heaven until something comes. And the best thing in the whole world happened. And that was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit came to these 120 that were in this room. And that's when the birth of the church happened. What we know, or what we should know as the church, that's the inception of it. That happened because of them consistently being united in the place of prayer. That's how things happen, is being united and praying, right? Okay, so let's go down just a little bit further in Acts 2. I love the Bible, and you should too, okay? So we're going to go to verse 42. I love this so much so that I have this on my kitchen wall now, okay? Because it's about family, right? Chapter 2, verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, number one, and to fellowship, which I'm going to share what that means in a second, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe. What did we just sing about? A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's awesome. All of that came from them deciding, we're going to pray. We're going to unite ourselves in spirit. And there's another scripture that I'll get to. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I won't. So I'll just stop there. Okay, so this is how the church was birthed. It was birthed because of unity, yes, and prayer. And that's what we're here for at Awakening Church, prayer, presence, and people, right? Prayer and presence kind of intermingle with one another. And people is what I'm talking about, is kingdom family. This was amazing, because when the church was started, it wasn't two or three people. This was 3,000 people that did what I just read. After the baptism, after the falling of the Holy Spirit and tongues of fire and all that wonderfulness, after that, 3,000 people were added to the church. And these were the ones that we're talking about in verses 42 through 47, that shared everything in common, and they ate meals together and all of that. That's a lot of people. So it's a myth to say that the bigger the church you have, the less you be connected to people. Because why are we connected? What brought all of these people together? And I'm starting to sweat, guys. I'm starting to glisten. What brought them together? Yes, somebody said it. Jesus. Jesus was the one thing, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is what was the glue that brought these people together, and it exploded the church. That one thing. And so as we teach and have taught, kingdom family, the one thing that we have in common is the presence of God. That's what pulls us together is the presence of God. And so if they can do it with 3,000, then I would venture to say that in the about 100 that come to Awakening Church, we can do it too, guys. We can do this too. And I know that this is a journey because like I said, that there are those of us that knew the nominal church and just showing up and just being a part of the programs and all of that kind of stuff and not recognizing, wait a minute, there's more to this. There's more to this facade that I can go deep with people. And instead of just saying, hi, how are you? How's the weather? That we can really get in each other's lives and live life with one another. That's what I want us to do. That's what Kingdom Family is all about. Okay, so there are four fundamental things that we're the institution of the church, okay? So if you're taking notes, number one was the apostles' teaching, okay? It is so vitally important that we get together and we study scripture together and we get under people that have knowledge and wisdom and the revelation of Jesus, like Ryan and Kathleen and Travis and other people in the assembly, that we get together and we share in learning and teaching of the word of God. This was a fundamental aspect of the early church. Number two, fellowship. Wow, this is so cool. Fellowship, that word actually is in the Greek, it's koinonia. And simply put, fellowship means that we are communicating with God and we are communicating with others in unity or a deep sense of spiritual unity. So fellowship isn't just getting together and, you know, shooting the breeze, which that's awesome. I'm going to talk about that too. But fellowship is communicating with God and with other people. That's what this kind of fellowship is. Okay. It's not a click kind of a deal. Like, well, these four can come to my house, but nobody else can because we don't really have anything in common. No, because if you are a part of the body of Christ, if you are in Kingdom Family, you do have something major in common, and that is Jesus, and that is the presence of God, and that is the Holy Spirit. So we don't do cliques at Awakening Church because that's not kingdom. And so we're going to have fellowship or koinonia, which is communicating with God and with others. I'm trying to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to stop. Number three, sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we do that here, sharing meals together. You know, when I was younger, I didn't think that cooking could be a ministry or sharing meals could be a ministry. But I have found later in life that there are many times that my kitchen table is way more ministry than me being here in front of a microphone. I'm able to share love with people because I've cooked them a meal, because you don't just eat the meal, right? You do so much more than that. You share your heart with one another. And like I said, when I spoke the last time, which I don't know, it's probably a year ago, but about the family altar, that's some of the most amazing times at our house, is being around the table and being able to share a meal, but not just that, sharing our day with one another and sharing what we're hearing from the Lord with one another and encouraging one another. That is some of the best things that we can do. And this is fundamental to the early church. And to me, that is the only church growth model that we would ever need, is to look at the early church and how they were formed. And so, number one, it's apostles' teaching. Number two, it is fellowship. Number three, sharing meals together. And number four, prayer. They devoted themselves to praying together. And it wasn't just once or twice. This was something that they did all of the time. Okay, let's read Acts chapter 4. I think it's 32. Yeah. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessings was upon all of them. Okay, so it was 32 and 33. This was, I found this in my commentary in my Bible, and I wanted to share this because I felt like it goes along with what I was just saying about the fundamentals of the early church and what we need to have fundamentally in our life as Awakening Church and as a body of believers. The early church grew rapidly. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's reported that the growing multitude of believers were experiencing a profound dimension of spiritual unity. First, they were united in heart, which is a description of in the original Greek meaning in tune or in sync with one another. To put it in another way, they were all going the same way spiritually together. So they had one mind or heart. I don't even remember what it was. But anyway, they were going the same way spiritually. They had that in common. They weren't people going off this way and that way. They recognized, oh, wow, Jesus, he just gave himself, and now he's in heaven, and we have to share this gospel with the entire world. So let us be in sync or in tune with one another and our message and be going in the same way spiritually. It is extremely important to surround yourself with people that are of your tribe, of your DNA, where you know that they are hearing similar words from God, and that they are devoting themselves to Jesus. It's so important to find your tribe and to stay in it. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus does not want us to be gypsies or vagabonds. Right. He doesn't want that. The reason why God even created the planet was for family. He wanted a family. He wanted you and me. And so it would be absurd for us to think that we need to be rogue and we need to go out and do our own thing. That's absurd. That's not what Jesus wants. He wants us to be connected with our brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. That is what he created us for, is to be in common union. That's what that means. Communion is we have common union. There's something that we can unite around that is in common. This next part is so cool. Second, they were united in mind or soul. You know, our soul, how we feel, our mind, will, and our emotions. This has a wonderfully deep meaning in the Greek. It literally means to breathe or to breathe spiritually together. Isn't that so cool? That to me, it denotes such a deep intimacy. Because when you are close to someone and you're breathing together, there's a sync. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been so close to somebody where you kind of like breathe the same tempo, the same rhythm? That's what this is talking about. That their souls or their mind, their will and their emotions were so in tune and so in sync that they were breathing together. That's deep intimacy. You have to be close to someone to breathe like them, right? And I know that that can be scary for some of us in the room, because I will say that even for myself, that there were things like Kathleen was, she heard this morning about some of you not being able to experience the wonder of God yet. Well, I began to hear, and I was going to say something, but I'm going to just do it right now and we can pray for it later. I think that there's probably some of us in the room that had that wonder at one time. That we experience that childlikeness, that free spirit in his presence. But there were people and things that started to shut us down. Like, that's too much. You don't need to do that. That's too extravagant. People are going to think you're weird. You need to stop. Or they might not even say it to your face, but in a roundabout way, they're going to shut you down. They're going to put a wet blanket on your wonder. Well, I say shame on them. We need to be in wonder with one another, not just alone. We need to celebrate the wonder that we each experience. I'm going to see a different facet of Jesus than you are, and I want to be able to share it with you freely, where there's no judgment or the spirit of religion political spirit. Those two try to gang up on people and say, well, first of all, you only can do it this way, spirit of religion. And political spirit is, I am going to push you away because you're different than me. And that's not what we want. We want to celebrate our differences. It's so powerful when you can be in a room of people that have completely different cultures. And guess what? You are in that room. You are in that room. We have so many different cultures represented in this room right now from all over the planet, Haiti, Africa, America, all over. There's so many, Puerto Rico, there's so many amazing, beautiful cultures that we can get together and know, and we can experience God through that. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, I'm going to move on. So the early church focused on communicating with God and each other, which was the fellowship, that koinonia. They grew in unity of heart, what I was talking about just a second ago. They came into sync with one another, or they were in tune with one another. We must learn to honor, which I already said, but I'm going to repeat it. We must learn to honor and to celebrate our differences so that we can benefit from each other rather than to take away from or to tear down. You know, these 3,000, it's a big deal what they did. They sold their homes and land and everything that they had because they believed in what they were a part of. And I can say that when I just like starting Awakening Church, I was willing to do whatever I needed to do because I knew that it was God. I knew that Jesus has said, do this. And so I was willing to sacrifice whatever I needed to do monetarily, like sell my house and all the things, if I needed to do that. The Lord was gracious enough that we didn't have to do that, and he supplied every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that's how we're here today. But I believed so much that Louisville needed a place to host the presence of God day and night that I was willing to give everything that I had. And I know that that's what Ryan, Travis, and Kathleen felt as well. They believe that this is what God wants, and so we're willing to give ourselves to this and to sell everything that we had, if we had to give it up for the expansion of the gospel. And you don't do that just because you feel obligated. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sell my house just because I feel like I have to, like it's a duty that I have to do. Or I'm not going to give up anything because I feel like I'm obligated to do this. This is something that is a spirit-born thing. It is something that God breathes upon and he asks us to do. So it might not be that we have to give up our houses and our cars and our lands and things like that, but there may be other things that we need to give up so that we can be united together in unity and in prayer, constantly together in prayer and developing kingdom family instead of nominal church. So okay, we discussed that nominal church is checking it off the list. And most of the time, nominal church means that there's not a whole lot of risk of being hurt because you're not connecting yourself with people. I can't remember where I was, but I can't remember where I was. But there was this lady that I was with, and she began to tell me a story about another lady that was not sitting at our table, but she was in the same room, and about how she had a sickness and her kids were going through this and that and this and that. And this lady was like, you know, it's a shame that we can come to this place and see each other and say hi and how are you? And I'm fine, even though that's probably not true. And we might know their name, but we don't know their story. Because we do not decide to detach from our own thing, our own agenda, and connect ourselves with other people. I want to be a part of a burning company of people that decide to lay down those things and decide that even though we might be different and we look differently, and you know what? We may even believe differently on certain things. We might believe differently, but being connected with the body of Christ, being joined together, jointly being the body of Christ, that is way more important to me. That's the kind of people that I want to hang out with. I want to hang out with people that are passionate about who they are in Jesus and spreading the gospel, expanding the kingdom of God. And that is you. You are my family. I want to be connected to you. I want to know your story. So that when something happens in your life that I am either going to celebrate with you because it's amazing, or I'm going to grieve with you and I'm going to be by your side doing it. Not that I'll have answers for you, but I'll be there for you. That those are the kind of people that I want to be with. And I believe that's who's in the room with me right now. Kingdom family, people that have the mission of spreading the gospel through the love of Jesus. Woo! Praise the Lord. We're called to love people more than we love our things. That's basically what I'm saying. We're called to love people. You know, when I was a teenager, after Ryan and I got married, I was pregnant with Trenton. And as a mom, you know, well, I hadn't been a mom yet. I was a mom because he was in my belly, but that's all I knew. So I didn't know how much I was going to love him. I mean, I could think I did because I could start to feel him moving in there. But I had never experienced life with a child. I'd never experienced that. And so before him, there were things that were important to me, hanging out with my friends, you know, doing that kind of stuff, or makeup. I love makeup. Or just being with Ryan, or different things like that, that were important to me. And it seemed shallow. Of course, I was a teenager, but those things seemed shallow. We're just hanging out with friends and stuff like that. But the moment that Trenton was born, all of those things, they did not matter at all. Having a house or a car or friendships or hanging out at the mall, whatever that was, they paled in comparison to the love and the value that I placed on Trenton. He changed my whole world. And I'm so thankful for that. I wouldn't have it any other way. He brought a love to me that I would never have experienced if I hadn't had a child. And I really think that that's where we are. That's where we need to be. We need to be so in love with our brothers and sisters and our sons and our daughters, spiritually and our blood family, that the things around us, they pale in comparison to the relationship that we have with one another. You know, when we die, we're not taking those things with us, right? But I would hope that I would leave a legacy that at my funeral, there's going to be people there that say, she loved well. She spent time with me. She encouraged me in this. I'm more concerned about how I can give of myself, not in material or monetary ways, but through the kingdom and through spiritual things and love. So that is something, a legacy that I can leave with those that are around me. Who are you doing life with? Who are you doing life with? I want you to really think about that, because that is kingdom family, doing life with one another. Choosing to let go of differences and say, you know what? Hey, let's have coffee or let's have lunch or whatever it is. Bring them over to your house for dinner and choose to let people in and recognize that in the past where maybe you've been hurt by people in church, it could be a minister or it could have been just somebody that you went to church with that didn't treat you with honor or respect. And so it wounded you. And so it made you maybe put your hand out and be like, you can only come this far. Well, I believe that through the grace and love and forgiveness that we are offered by Jesus, we can do that for other people and we can let them in our lives. I don't know you're sick unless you tell me. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know you have a need unless you come and you tell me. Because I do not have, I'm not psychic. I'm prophetic, but I'm not psychic. And so I remember Damon saying this to Ryan and I. He was like, don't make me be more prophetic than I am. If there's something going on, don't make the Lord tell me. You come and tell me so that we can be connected and so that I can go through things with you and be a part of your life. I'm going to tell, I hope that it's okay. I didn't ask her before, but I'm just going to do it anyway. So part of kingdom family is, you know, the extra stuff that you don't plan. So when Ryan and I were senior pastors at Victory Worship Center, which then became East Point, I had planned a ladies' like banquet. It was supposed to be real fancy, and it was fun. We had a great time, actually. And each lady decorated. It was so pretty, and they had all these napkins, like cloth napkins, not paper napkins, and real plates and all that kind of stuff. We had this great time. And so kingdom family are the ones that when all that's done, they stick around and they help you clean up, yeah. Right? Those are those kingdom family people. So we were doing one time, Tanya, I hope you don't get mad at me. So it was after this amazing event. We had such a good time. Well, Gina, she comes here too. She's not here today, but Gina had gotten so many things that were like donated for gifts, you know, like door prizes and stuff like that. And so she had this big box and we were like, "Ooh, this is fun. Let's go through it," because we had cleaned up and we were doing our thing. And we were just sitting in the floor looking in a box, just going through stuff. And there was like this figurine of like a chef or something. He had this big pot belly. We were laughing at that and different stuff. Well, then we saw that there were packages of pantyhose in the box. And I was like, "Oh, I got an idea." And they were like, "What?" And I was like, "Well, me and my mom," she's not in here either, but she's in the nursery. "Me and my mom, we used to take pantyhose and we'd pull them down over our head and it would smush our face and then we would pull it." And they were like, "Okay, yeah, let's do it." So it's us three girls sitting in the floor going through this stuff after a kingdom event, a church event, just being real. And we died laughing. I mean, Foghorn totally came out that night. It might today. I know, yo, it's manifesting now. And that was a knitting together with Gina and Tanya and myself, because we decided to have fun and spontaneously put pantyhose on our heads and pull them off. It was so, so funny. That is how you build kingdom family, you know. Or we sit around a table and we play Rook, right, Dave and Kathy? Where we just do, we might not even play Rook, well, we have lately, but sometimes we would just put the cards on the table and then we would start talking about life and Jesus and kids and stuff. And then Ryan and, what'd you say? Yes, see, I have stories with so many people in here. Brianna, we were on a youth trip and we were talking, I don't even remember what we were talking about. Not ice. That's really what it was. Actually, I think we were talking about something, like we had been at the ramp and so it was like Jesus and stuff. And she's just sitting there chomping on ice in her own little world, like staring off into the distance, into middle distance. And then like we're all like talking and stuff. And all of a sudden she's like, "Do you like ice?" We were like, "What in the world?" And we lost it because her randomness was so awesome at that moment. That is how you build kingdom family. There's so many times Casey and I would do silly things all the time, right, Casey? We share little goofy things all the time. And as you know, I love to have fun. And that's part of me being kingdom family. That's part of me expressing Jesus to you, because I love to have fun and bring joy into situations. And then there's also other times where I'm able to connect with people. There was somebody that they had gone through a tragic thing in their family. Like it was horribly tragic. And this young lady called me and she said, "I need you." And she's weeping. And so you know what I did? I had been in the middle of something. I don't remember what it was exactly, but I had an appointment and I was doing something. And she called me and she needed me. So I dropped what I was doing and I went to her house and I crawled up in the bed with her and got under the covers and we watched a movie. And she cried and cried and cried, and I cried with her. And I didn't have anything to say but tears. But because I was willing to drop what I was doing and go and literally climb in her bed with her and cuddle her while she was hurting and grieving, it knit us together, because she's my family. She might not be my blood, but she is, because of the blood of Jesus. So I want to encourage you. If you have had wounds in the past, let the Holy Spirit wash over you and connect, because you need each other more than you think you do. You need each other, and I need you. This body of believers needs you. You know, like I was talking about earlier, that rogue thing, that's not the will of God. As a matter of fact, a spirit of independence is in direct opposition to kingdom family. We are actually created to be interdependent on one another. We have to become vulnerable with one another, and that is a hard thing to do when you've been hurt in the past. It's a difficult thing to do, but we have to trust God and leave the rest. We just trust him with our hearts. And I will make this statement, and I believe it with all of my heart. Revival and awakening cannot be sustained without family. Revival and awakening cannot be sustained without relationship with people, without fellowship, communion with God and with others. And this, our name is called Awakening. That is what we desire to see in this city. So I want you to understand that if you have removed yourself from the family of God, or I can do this on my own, I can handle it. You need to understand that is not God. That is not the voice of God saying that to you. The enemy wants you to be isolated. The enemy wants you to think that you've got this. The enemy wants you to go out on an island all by yourself and stay there, because he knows if that's the case, he can get in your head. And nobody's there to tell you if you're being deceived or not. You know, I learned that if we're being deceived, most times the only way that we can get out of deception is by trusting someone else more than we trust ourselves. Because the nature of deception, we don't know, right? Again, a very vulnerable place to be when I have to trust you to tell me the truth so that I can come out of deception. And I'm so grateful for the people in my life that are willing to tell me the truth. That they're like, you know what? You're acting a little selfish right now. Or your attitude is not really matching up with the word. Or is that a good decision, you know? My husband is really good at helping me. You're so good, babe. He's so good at helping me and showing me. And sometimes he doesn't even know that he's showing me, just because, you know, we're in life together. Something that he does will train me and be like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have reacted that way. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so thankful for people that can come to me and say, you know what, you're a little bit off. And here's the thing. We need to be people that are, I love you and this and this and this. Not, I love you, but you're going to have to stay over there until you get your stuff worked out. There are so many times in that old system, in that old way, that's what happened. I love you, and you need to fix this and this and this before we can hang out. And I'm going to give you the silent treatment until you do that. That is not God. That is not the will of God for you to be isolated or shunned or to feel condemnation from people. Because if he's not going to condemn me, then you're not going to condemn me either. Right? So we need to have the mentality that I love you and I am here for you no matter what, even while you're going through this trial. Even though you might be making bad decisions, I love you and I'm right here with you. I'm willing to let go of differences, let the walls down so that I can stay connected. I love through Danny Silk's ministry and his book, Keep Your Love On, which I highly recommend. He talks about choosing closeness over being right. That is for marriage relationships. That's for any kind of relationship, that you're choosing closeness over being right. Because there are some times that we can be in arguments or whatever, even in kind of debate or in a conversation where you know that what you're saying is truth and it is right. And you have this, well, I have this in me where I want to defend it. I'm like, no, this is not right. You need to do this and that and this. And what does that do? It creates a divide. It creates this chasm between you and that other person, because you're like, I'm sorry, I can't deal with you because you're not right. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is conversation and pulling people in close and letting them know, I love you, even though we don't think the same. Even though we don't believe the same. It's okay. Closeness is way more important than being right. And you know, the fruit of the Spirit is something that that for the most part we learn only because other people are in our life. I'm not going to know that I need patience until I get into a situation with someone else and I need patience. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are attributes of God and of his spirit and fruits of his spirit that I'm not going to be able to see that I need in myself until I use you as a mirror to know that. We need to know that the goodness of God in all of his splendor, there are things that we cannot see about him unless we are in relationship with one another. I want to be able to see every facet of God. And like I was saying earlier, there's something about God that I have that you need. That's not an arrogance. That is this perspective of him. I want to be able to show you. You know, have you ever been somewhere and for instance, I think we were at a movie or something or a show, and there was a column in the middle of the room, like in the middle of the seats, and I had to sit behind it and I couldn't see the whole thing. But somebody to the right and left of me, they could see it all clearly. So I'm going to be like, hey, what color was this? And what'd they say there? And how this happened? Because they have a different perspective of what we're all looking at, right? Just like if I had a $1 bill in front of me, or a $20, any kind of dollar bill, in front of me, there's one side that has a president's face on it, right? And the other side has a building or a pyramid or something on the other side. Just because there's two different sides to that $1 bill doesn't mean that it's not a dollar bill. There are things that you are going to be able to show me because you have had close relationship with God. You've been in a secret place, in the place of devotion, and you've gotten a download from him that you're going to be able to come and tell me and share with me that I'm going to be able to see because you spent time with him. Do you see what I'm saying? It's so important that we are in community with one another and kingdom family so that we can see every facet of God. Iron sharpens iron. That's the other aspect of that. When we get together as iron, we can sharpen one another. I love so much yesterday when we were at the event, the outreach at Holiday Park, I was standing there and I was helping get the food set up and whatever. And my best friend, Bethany, her mother came. Her name's Patty. And she's one of the most amazing women in my life. She's like a second mother to me. But she's also an amazing Bible teacher. And she came to me and she began to talk about some things that she knows that I'm praying about right now. And she began to share the word of God. And it just ignited something in me. And then it started to make me remember. It started to help me remember things that God spoke to me about this situation. And it built faith in me. It brought hope to my spirit because she was using the word that she knew to come and sharpen me, to make me ready for battle, to make me ready for prayer and here's another different kind of bullet that you can shoot at the enemy. It was so faith-filled. I loved that moment. And it was probably 10 minutes that we were able to share in discussion about the word of God, about our situations. And because of that, I was sharpened and I had more faith to pray about the situation that I was in and knowing that God is going to do something because of this mother in my life pouring into me. Isn't that so good? It was just on the side of the road. We were talking about, you know, the goodness of God and his word and how powerful it is. And this is what it should do. This is what kingdom family should do. It should drive you to Jesus. It should drive you to the word of God. And that's exactly what my conversation with Patty did yesterday. As soon as I got home, I went and looked for the scripture. She didn't, you know what? She didn't even tell me where it was. All she said was, there's this beautiful little gem hidden inside the Old Testament that says that the word of God is like a hammer that can crush every hard rock into pieces. And I was like, ooh, I'm grabbing onto that. And so that's all she said to me. Well, there was more, but about that scripture, that's all she said. But it was enough to penetrate my heart to know that I needed to go back and study that and get in the face of Jesus concerning that so I can use it for the kingdom of God and in my situation. And I know that it's doing good work. I know that I'm able to use that promise that his word is a consuming fire. And it is a hammer that will break through the rock. I was so filled with faith. And that is what you need to be for the people that are around you, that you share. It's not just about that. But that is so huge to be able to share it with one another in the spirit. And then there's also those times, like I was talking about with Tanya or with Brianna or with all the people, all the ones, where, you know what, sometimes you're going to do silly things. You know, you're going to play games and you're going to sit around and have coffee together and have face-to-face conversation. But we as a body can have that in here as well. We can have face-to-face conversation with one another and with him, communing with God and with each other. That actually, that's what happened this morning during worship. I don't know if you sensed that, but I'm so privileged to be able to worship God with you, because he comes into the room because we as a body decide together that we're going to go after him. He comes into the room, and that in and of itself unites our hearts. And so we're able to gaze in his face, and there are moments that I'm able to look at you and see the glory of God on you during worship, and I'm connected to you in that moment. It is such a beautiful thing. It is us breathing, synchronizing with one another, having rhythm with God and with each other. I crave those moments. I want to have those moments. And I don't want it to be a mountaintop experience and then a valley. That's not what we're about. We're about glory to glory and spirit without measure. Amen. Amen. Ooh, I can talk for days. I might have to do this again on another day so that we can get, I've got 6 pages of notes. Okay. So one of my husband's favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Mephibosheth. As a matter of fact, which you probably heard this, he wanted to name Trenton Mephibosheth. I was like, nah, that ain't working. But he loves that story, and it's a beautiful story of kingdom family. And so basically, let's say this. So Saul's the king, Jonathan is his son, and David is actually anointed king. Okay, we all know that story, right? And David and Jonathan had this beautiful relationship where they were knit together. They were soulmates, so to speak. And that's, sometimes it's a healthy thing. You need to have soulmates. You don't need to have unhealthy soul ties. That's another subject. But it's good to have people that you can connect with. And they had that. And Jonathan was so devoted to their relationship, he recognized, even though he was in line for king, he saw that David was anointed for king. It was Jonathan's right, his birthright to be king. But he stepped out of that place in humility and recognized, no, this is for David. David is supposed to be king. So much so that he gave his life for it, really. He and his dad died on the battlefield. And he did it with humility and with honor. He didn't complain like, well, David's going to take my spot. No, no, no. He celebrated the fact that David was going to be a king, right? So then Jonathan and Saul get killed in battle, and David becomes king, and Mephibosheth was actually injured on that day because his nursemaid was running and she fell with him, and he was a baby. And so he went to Lodabar, which is a place of nothingness, and he lived there in hiding so that David wouldn't kill him, because in that day, if there was anybody with blood of a king, the king that came to power would kill him. And so he was away. So anyway, long story short, David said, I want to take care of Jonathan's family. He was so committed to me, and we had a covenant with one another. So I want to bless his family. So David found Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth was brought to the kingdom, and he was given his own stuff. You had to think he was having his own palace, his own maids, his own servants, and all of that, I'm sure. But part of the reason why David wanted to bring him back is because he wanted Mephibosheth to come sit at the king's table, or he wanted him to come and sit at the governmental family table, the kingdom family table. Well, Mephibosheth was lame. He couldn't walk. He had mangled feet. But when he came to David's table and he scooted up to the table, Nobody saw his lameness. Nobody saw his dysfunction or his problems. And so I want to tell you today that you are invited to the King's table right here at Awakening Church. This is a table for you to come and to put your lameness under the table, where we can sit eye to eye and we can honor one another and not have to worry about those problems, those distractions, those things in our life that might make us think less of ourselves. When we come to the table of God, the family table, we are equal. And we're able to share in that. That is so encouraging to me, to know that my faults and my mistakes can be covered up under the family table. Praise you, Jesus. I heard this from Bill Johnson. This was amazing. Relationships or kingdom family becomes the setting of a ring that a beautiful diamond would sit in. And that beautiful diamond is revival and awakening. When we can dwell together and do amazing things for the kingdom of God, we become that beautiful setting that a pristine, beautiful, sparkling diamond can sit in. But if there's nothing there, there's no relationship with one another, if there's no kingdom family, then there's nothing to display the goodness of God. There's nothing to display revival, awakening, sustainable revival and awakening. It's when we choose to be close and in kingdom family with one another, that's when God in all of his brilliance can come and be displayed in this place. Our desire, I'm going to wrap up because I know I've been talking for a long time. I'm a woman. I have like 25,000 words or something. So so I will reserve the right to continue this at another time. Is that okay with you all? It is our desire for Awakening Church to be an Isaiah 60 place. That is the scripture that says, arise and shine. And it goes on to say that kings will come to you because of your shining, basically. That there will be nations that will gather around you. And to me, what that's saying is, we're going to be a place of kingdom family that is a model to the world. I'm okay to say that. I'm not saying we're there yet. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're there yet. We're working on it. But the desire of this house is to be an Isaiah 60 place where we will arise and shine, and we will display the brilliance of God's kingdom because we are in close relationship and in kingdom family with one another, so that kings and so that governments and so that anybody can come and they can see, that's what I want. I want something where we can knit our hearts together and it be real, and we can be vulnerable with one another, and we can cry together, and we can laugh together. And you know what? We can correct each other, and we can say, I love you and, instead of I love you but. That's what this place needs to be. It needs to be an oasis of revival, an oasis for family to come together and be real with one another. So, with that being said, I believe that it would not be right if we did not end on the opportunity for those that are not a part of Kingdom Family to be welcome into Kingdom Family. So if you guys would stand and we could get somebody to go to the keyboard or guitar. Thanks, babe. So what I'm gonna offer to you today are two things. First of all, if you are like, what is she talking about, kingdom family? I have no idea what that even means, but it's attractive. And I want to have that. And you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you thought you did, but what I'm talking about has stirred something on the inside of you where you're like, I want that. I want family. And remember when I began, I said that what we come under, the umbrella that brings us together, the most magnificent thing is Jesus. He's what makes us kingdom family. It doesn't matter if we're black or white or red or yellow or old or young or tall or short. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. What matters is that we can come under the beautiful umbrella of Jesus, and we can lift it high and say, that is what makes us one. That is who I'm inviting you into relationship with, is Jesus. Whether you never met him before or he's somebody that you want to try to get to know again, that is for you. In just a second, I'm going to open the altars. And if that's you, I want you to come down here and we're going to pray with you so that you can be welcomed into this family that I'm talking about. And you can see it good and right. You don't have to see it in a negative way. You can see it the way that Jesus intended. And that's for us to be kingdom family, governmental family, where we're there for one another and that we do life together for real. And the other thing that I want to invite you to come to an altar of prayer about is, as I said earlier when Kathleen was talking about those that never experienced the wonder of God, there's some of you in here that, you know what, at one time you were that kid that spin, and you'd want to, if you're a girl, you'd want to see your dress go because you're spinning, or you're chasing a ball if you're a little boy and you didn't, it was awesome. Or if somebody blew bubbles and you're like, oh wow, do you remember that time? There's some of you in the room that you have lost that wonder because of circumstances, because of people that have said things. You know what? There are word curses that are in this room that need to be broken over your life. That's too much, or you should settle down, or that's weird, or it doesn't take all that, or you shouldn't do that. That's not for you. Whatever the word is, there, it could be something totally different, but you know what it is. You know what somebody has said over you that was a curse. It was a word curse. And we're not in a place where curses can land, right? And so if they're over our heads, we want to break them so that the blessing of God can completely be open and we can restore the wonder that we once had. If something that I said today about nominal church and kingdom family really speaks to you and you want this kingdom family thing and you're willing to be vulnerable, I just want to invite you to come to the altar just as a sign of saying, you know what? I'm all in. I'm doing this. So if it's one of those things, if you want to meet Jesus and you want to be part of his kingdom family, or if you want to try again and you want to just say yes to the plan of God for this house being kingdom family, I just want to open the altars and I say, please come. You are welcome. Welcome home. Welcome home. This is your house. Yeah, God, we just thank you for your spirit. And Lord, I know that in prayer you told me that there were people in the room that had that over their life. And so whether they respond or not, I know they're in the room. And so God, I just ask that the words that you gave me and the things that you said to my heart in the secret place, I ask God that it would penetrate to the deep places. And where there's been wounds and where there's been hurt from the past and from an old way of thinking, I thank you, God, that you're going to apply the healing balm of Gilead and you're going to surround these people with their family. You're going to surround them with a place that they can call home. God, we say that as we do that, we want this to be a place where you can come and dwell and your spirit can make itself at home in our hearts and in the praises that we lift to you, Jesus. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you for kingdom family and the initiation point in this in 2017 of understanding what that means. And God, I just bless your people with that truth. Where there's been lies, that you would replace it with that truth. And I pray that in Jesus' name. If there's anyone in the room that needs healing in their body or you need special prayer for something, our prayer team will come to the front and they're going to meet with you and pray with you at this time. And if not, we say be blessed. And I pray that the face of God would shine on you this week and that he would give you more revelation.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast from Awakening Church. You can find us at 1725 Research Drive in Louisville, Kentucky, or online at awakeningky.com.